If you open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, we'll begin hopefully a short study there tonight. Book of Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at the first five verses as we begin our lesson. I want you to look at these verses. Paul writes, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should do not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This I only want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Indeed, it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" We look at this and we think of this big question. Who has bewitched you? Who is it that's manipulating you? Who is it that is describing you as a foolish person or making you out to be a foolish person? We think of this in this book, and it's never more clear than it is here that there are people who are infiltrating the church teaching false doctrine. He described them as a foolish people who listen, seeking to be perfected by the flesh rather than by the Spirit, perfected by including circumcision from the old law. Suffering many things in vain, the apostle is saying. Now, their salvation is endangered, as we read there in Galatians chapter 5. And if look at, we read on 4 through 8. He says, "You have suffered so many things in vain, if indeed in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.'" You know, he wondered if they had been bewitched. That word bewitched comes from an interesting Greek word, biskaino. And what it literally means is being fascinated, being enamored, being charmed, or being overpowered. That's what Strong's has to say. To be led astray by charming misrepresentations. Just fancy words. Filled up meaning nothing. And so Paul is seeking to reason with them as we read through this. Was Christ clearly portrayed to them as crucified? No question. They had not received the Spirit of faith by the hearing or by the works of the law. They didn't do it that way. It came by the hearing of faith. Galatians 10 and verse 17. No question. Who was it that supplied the Spirit to you, Paul asks? How did you get it? Was it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It is possible today to face very similar dangers. Calvin and I were talking this afternoon, which made me think of this message here. And the idea is that people speak and everybody listens. And people don't sit down with their Bibles and they don't say, well, is this right or isn't this right? There are many books written by many men. Paul says to the writing of books, there is no end. If you tried to fit the knowledge of God in a volume, the earth wouldn't be big enough to hold it. And yet people will read a commentary that disagrees with God's word, and they'll believe the commentary because that guy is a theologian. He's a scholar. He knows what he's talking about. And the other thing is, it sounds good. We get deceived so easy because it sounds good. It sounds right. It's easy to make up a lot of stuff out of the Scriptures that sound really right that would be totally wrong. Calvin did it. In the end, Wesley did it. Stanley did it. Modern day preachers are doing it now. They're pleasing men with their preaching, their false teaching. And so we indeed might find ourselves in that situation. Well, we don't want to be there. And what we do want to realize is that there is a clear and ever-present danger. It's there. It's facing us. The Scriptures warn us very clearly. The danger is confirmed. I want you to, you know, think of the Scriptures warning us of false prophets. Right? Beware of false prophets, he says. Of departing from the faith. You know, but in 1 John, John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit. Test the spirits, whether they are of God." In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15, we read that, you know, there are, for such are false prophets. They were false prophets then, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And he says, no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So don't be surprised how easily people are deceived. It looks really good, it sounds really good, therefore it must be good. Even in Peter wrote about the false prophets among the people, that there will be false teachers who secretly come in with their destructive heresies in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. So we want to be involved in our understanding and our knowledge. Beware of the false prophets, Jesus said, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. That's what was happening in the first century there with the churches in Galatia. And as we look at this, you know, the Spirit expressly says, Paul, in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies. He says hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. People listen so much to these false teachers even today that their minds are so wrapped up in the teaching and they're so emotionally involved that they can't believe the truth anymore. That's what it means to have your mind seared with a hot iron. You know, in wartime, especially in the 1800s, in the war between the states and the war from England against the tyranny of England and the trying to separate ourselves from England and France, people would get shot and they would take hot irons and burn the skin. They call it cauterizing to stop the blood. Well, these people are doing that spiritually. They're stopping your ability to hear, accept the truth. Why are they departing from the faith? They're giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. You know, 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times they'll depart from the faith. That's what we're talking about. These are the people that are being confused by the false teachers and their minds are seared with a hot iron. And if we look at this again, you know, why? How does it happen? Well, according to what Paul says, according to their own desires. You know, they have itching ears. That's what he's telling Timothy. They will heap up for themselves teachers. And what will those teachers do? They will turn their ears away from the truth unto fables. That's what the false teachers do, and that's what we need to be on guard of. And they are everywhere. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. If we read that, I'm going to put it on the screen. My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. You can protect yourself, and we'll get into that in a minute here, but it's a lack of knowledge that causes people to be destroyed. It causes people to lose their own salvation or to never get it in the first place. He also says, because you have rejected knowledge, then God will also reject you from being a priest for me. And remember, You know, Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Jesus Christ is the high priest, and every saint in Christ is a priest under Christ. And he says that when you reject knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest for me. And of course, he's referring to the Old Testament, the Jews under the law, but the principle applies. And he says, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. How horrible is that? That's something that should cause one to shake and quake. And yet the problem is that people don't read from this book. So Peter warns again, false teachers. They're there. Destructive heresies. Exploiting with deceptive words. Now, think of this. Psalm 105. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. You know what that's teaching us? It's teaching us that God is always there. He is always good. He is always merciful. And if we don't have a lack of knowledge, we can partake of His mercy. If we don't reject knowledge, we can partake of His mercy. If we don't forget the law of God, and in our dispensation, the law of Christ, then we can partake of God's mercy and His goodness. It endures all generations. And listen, when we're looking at this slide here, beware lest anyone cheat you of your through philosophy and empty words, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Beware. It's a warning. There are people out there, even to this day, who want to consume you spiritually. Always thinking, who is bewitching me today? Who did I listen to on the radio? What book did I read? What novel or program did I watch? What worship service did I attend? Who's bewitching me? And there is a danger. And I need to be paying close attention. One of the problems is humanism, or the tradition of men, the philosophies of men. And you know, those are two different things. The traditions of men are just people that I've always done it this way. We have to be careful in the church with that. We're not exempt from that thing of traditions. We have traditions that we should examine from year to year, make sure that what we do is of the faith, and expel things that are not. And the same thing's true about the philosophies of men. There are many different kinds of philosophies. And philosophy is something where men have devised a methodology or a way of teaching, and people follow that way. One of those is humanism. It's an ideology that supports reason, ethics, justice, while specifically rejecting religion. Humanism is part of the annihilationism that is also part of what's going on in our school systems today, where they have come in that sense, and they are teaching young children from kindergarten right on up through college the dangers of religion, how there is no God, there is no Jesus, you are born, you die, and there's nothing to life. Annihilism teaches that. That started in Russia. And it's something that has been taught even in the colleges. Sharon and I talked to a man who was literally speaking annihilism. He said, I'm born and I'm going to die. And there's nothing to life. You just live life. You're just here. You exist. There's no truth. There's no morality. There's no immorality. You're just on the earth. That's all there is. And then when you die, you die. And it's it. It's over. That's what humanism is. It's part of what humanism is. Secularism, separation between government institutions and God, being separated because of your faith. It asserts the right to be free from religious rule. And unfortunately, religion, the faith of Christ, it doesn't rule the world. It never will. It has a rule in the church for those who believe, but the people out in the world are terrified. And they want to destroy the faith. Postmodernism is an apparent realities are only social constructs. And they are therefore subject to change. There's no such thing as absolute truth. And so these are the philosophies, the teaching of men, humanism, secularism, postmodernism is an apparent reality that we have to be paying attention of because we're part of that. The world out there believes there's no absolute truth. And listen, if you don't believe me, go to the college campus and every girl you see, call her, her. Sooner, within 10 minutes, you're going to be finding out real quick there's no such thing as absolute truth because she may be biologically a her, but to the world out there, she wants to be a him. And that's all around us. It's all around us. You can't get away. And so, again, the danger is there. We don't want anyone to cheat us through philosophy and empty deceit. Because they're there. False teachers are everywhere. They appeal to greed. They appeal to perversions. The gospel, health and wealth, positive thinking, Joel Osteen, 2005, he's the one that he uses the scripture verse, set your mind on the things above. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on the things above and not on the earth. He says, I believe the higher things are the positive things. That's a quote from Joel Osteen. He says that you set your mind for success. You set your mind for victory. You set your mind for going and enjoying day-to-day life. And you'll enjoy this day. That's what he taught that verse means. I don't know how you get that. I mean, it's pretty clear. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind not on the things of the earth, not the money, not progress, not success, not victory. You set your mind on the things above, the spiritual things, the things of God, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, heaven as our hope. But he turns that right around. You know, his congregation, if you want to call it that, is a lot bigger than ours. I don't know of any Church of Christ that has over 7,000 members in one sitting. I mean, I guess there might be, but I don't know about that. Joel Osteen, he's one of those false teachers that appeal to the perversion of by perverting the scriptures. Another one too, this is what he did say, by the way. Another one here is Robert Funk. False doctrines that deny God and Jesus. Evolution, the Jesus Seminar is something that he was very much promoting in 1985. Robert Funk. Jesus was a mortal man, he says. And you know what? He's right. He was all man. And he said, of two human parents, therefore he can't be God. Jesus did not perform natural miracles. Jesus did not die as a substitute for sinners. In that seminar, he said Jesus did not rise bodily from the dead. And the sightings of a risen Jesus were no more than visions experienced by some disciples on drugs rather than the physical encounter. In 1985, that was the seminar. And you know how many people were present there? 7,000. To hear this fella speak. And they were all there for religious reasons. False teachers, a very clear and present danger. You know, adultery therapy is another one by Mira Kirshenbaum. When Good People Have Affairs is the name of her book. Claims that most adulterers are good, kind people. Affairs can help the marriage. She encouraged that in her seminar and in her book, that those who stray should never admit it, keep it secret from your spouse, and the truth can cause, because the truth will cause you damage in your marriage. It's not like the adultery causes damage in the relationship you have outside the marriage, but keep the truth hidden, because if you don't, if you reveal it, it's gonna cause problems in your marriage. And so he promoted divorce, he promoted same-sex marriage, he promoted fornication, adultery, therapy, when good people have affairs. Well, the world has clearly bewitched many people. And yes, there is a clear and ever-present danger. It exists day to day. In all of our lives, we have to be on guard. And so if we're to avoid being bewitched, the way Paul put it, you know, who has bewitched you? We must search our Bibles, looking for the answers. And the solution, of course, is very clearly portrayed. Jesus and Him crucified. That's what Paul said in Galatians 3 and 1. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. You can't hardly miss that. And proclaimed by the apostles, first eyewitnesses, proclaimed by the Lord's Supper. When we think of the Lord's Supper, why? Because what they're doing is they're telling the world He's coming back. We do this till the Lord returns. Never forget that Jesus was crucified for our sins. The law of Moses, which, you know, its works of circumcision, they can't save us, and neither can any other parts of that law. Nor can any doctrine which denies God or the need for Jesus' death. There is no other gospel. There is no other gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And there's only one gospel. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, there's one spirit, one body. And so we need to be careful. The solution is to remember Christ crucified. It's to remember Him through the Lord's Supper. It's to proclaim Him as Paul did. Never forget. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So important. Because without the crucifixion and on the subsequent resurrection, we have nothing to look forward to. We don't forget that Jesus was crucified for our sins. And nor can any other doctrine which denies God the need for Jesus' death. No need for the death if all these other false teachings are true. Secondly, remember how one receives the Spirit. Paul says, by the hearing of faith. He asked that question, how did you receive the Spirit? Was it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Of course, the answer in Romans 10:17 is hearing of faith. Promise to those who believe and repent and are baptized, Acts 2 and 38. Given to those who are the children of God. Given to those. Because, He says, you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4 and 6. We must not forget those very basic principles. Third, never forget that our spiritual lives began in the Spirit. Galatians 3 and 3 again, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? We were born of the Spirit, John 3 and 5. Unless one is born of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. In Titus 3 and 5, we were born not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. We must never forget these things. forth. It was God. It was He who supplies the Spirit. It didn't come from Joel Osteen. It didn't come from Martin Luther. It didn't come from Calvin. It didn't come from Wesley. It didn't come from, it didn't come from any of those men. It came from God. It was God who supplies the Spirit. He's the one who poured out the Spirit abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We need to remember these things. God also bearing witness by signs and wonders and miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 22. We look back at history and we see not only secular history that literally illuminates Jesus and puts Him on a pedestal. Josephus is the one that said that there's a man in Jerusalem, if it's lawful, even lawful to call him a man, who did many wonders and signs in front of the Jews. He wasn't a believer. And of course the scriptures, they involve us in those wonders and signs and miracles. Jesus walking on water, Jesus healing the lame, the blind, and the sick. What He told John the Baptist, you know, you go and tell him that the sick are healed and the lepers are clean, cleansed, and so on and so on and so on. This is how we make the solution. This is how we protect ourselves, because we never forget who Jesus is. Never forget that God bore witness to Christ and His apostles in Hebrews chapter 2 and at verse 3. Never forget that. That it was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. Never forget. Miracles confirmed in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 20. That were sent out by the Lord, confirming the Word through the accompanying signs. Well, He's not Jesus. He's not God. Well, He raised Lazarus from the dead. He's not Jesus. He's not God. Well, He walked on water. He's not Jesus. He's not God. Well, listen, they brought all the sick to Him and He healed them all. He fed 5,000 with some bread and fish. What do you mean He's not the Jesus, that He's not the Messiah, that He's not the Christ? These things protect us from the false teachers, from the foolish professors and the pompous theologians who would mislead and misguide innocent people. And there is no other way to know the will of God but through His Word, which the apostles and writers of the New Testament gave us as a testimony of Jesus Christ and our faith. And through the guidance of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. These are the kinds of things that we need to be paying close attention to. 1 John chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. 1 John 4, 5 and 6. John writes, "For they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He knows God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Do you realize that there are so many things that the Church of Christ is distinct in? It's distinct in the worship. We worship because we can quote book, chapter, verse. This is why we meet on Sunday, the first day of the week. This is why we have communion each and every Lord's Day. This is why we preach a message every week. This is why we pray. This is why we sing and not use instruments. Book, chapter, verse. That's different from the world. Notably different from the world. And people who can't accept that, who can't accept the words, "He who believes and is baptized," or the words that baptism washes away our sins, or the words that in the days of Noah, 8 souls were saved by water, the like figure were under baptism now saves us, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience. People who can't accept that are the people who don't know God. They're not of God. And the world's full of them. They are of the world. And they speak as people of the world. Many people today have been bewitched. Evidence by many different religions, 32,000 plus individually named Christian denominations who are often contradictory to one another, exhibited by rapidly changing morality, focuses on moral standards in all these different congregations around the world, all these different religious institutions. Too many people are being misled by too many, and they don't obey the truth. If we desire to be bewitched, we will be. If you desire not to be bewitched, follow Jesus. He was the one that was crucified for our sins. He is the master, the shepherd of our salvation. He is the bread of life, and He is the great I Am. Listen to Him. Listen to the apostles. Listen by the hearing of faith. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, "If you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you can't explain it, says Albert Einstein, you don't understand it well enough. Pretty simple. Romans 3 and 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5 and 8, God demonstrated His own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He who bore our sins on His own body on the tree, having died for sin, might for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. What did Jesus teach that we must do to be saved? John 6:45, He says, "You must hear and be taught of God in order to come to Him." John chapter 8 and verse 24, after hearing, we have to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God. Luke chapter 13:3, He tells us that we must repent of our sins or perish. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, He tells us to confess Him before men, and He will confess us before His Father. In Mark 16, verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's all red ink in your Bibles. All the words of Jesus. Are you going to be led away by false teachers, or are you going to be following the Master to everlasting life? If you have any need whatsoever tonight, please don't hesitate. Come forward now, as we stand and as we sing.